Welcome to the Red Half of Sheffield. This is a Sheffield United podcast by two American Blades fans. My name is Noah Snyder. I am joined, as always, by Mr. Chad Jarvis. And the day that we knew was coming for a long time, probably since November or December, is finally here. United relegated back to the championship. Your thoughts initially, Mr. Jarvis?
A big fat R. Suck on it, Premier League. Suck on it, everyone else. Thank God. It's about time. The crazy thing is, how did it take this long? We have 16 points. If this would have been in any regular, normal season without points deductions, what do you think? We're down with 8 games to go, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think without points deductions this year, I think the bottom three would have been done by now. I think everybody would have been, you wouldn't have been worrying about Burnley and Luton having a chance at staying up. I think all three of us would have been pretty well cut adrift. I mean, what can you say? I mean, it is what it is. We all knew it was coming since the beginning of the season. I mean, it's just now they'll plaster our face and slander our name for the next week or so, or until the next team gets pipped off and relegated. Then they can slander them and tell us how bad they are. But we all know we're bad. We're going to eclipse the 100 goals conceded mark. I just hope this season we go down for as many possible shit records as possible. Except we didn't get the lowest points.
Yeah, that's the one that I care the most about, to be honest with you. Breaking 100 goals, all of that. It doesn't really, I mean, it's embarrassing to be sure, and just shows how completely inept our defense has been this year. Yeah. But at the same time, like, as long as we beat that Derby record, which we did a long ass time ago, that's all I care about. And, you know, we're not on paper the worst team ever, because points are really all that matter in the grand scheme of things. And that's how the table's decided, unless you're tied, of course. But yeah, I'm thankful that the season's over. I cannot wait for championship football next season, where I know there is a good chance that my team could pull off a win, or at least a result, week in, week out. And, you know, anything can happen. I mean, like, the championship, we've said it so many times on this podcast that it's the best football league maybe in the world, just for how competitive it is. You know, the feeling that any team could beat any team in the league week in, week out. No big six to speak of, no obnoxious fans, just, you know, the usual bastards, you know, obnoxious foreign fans, I guess I should say. And yeah. I say that as an obnoxious foreign fan.
Yes, it's very true. But one thing I wanted to say on your point is next year we get to hopefully win more games than just three. We've only won three games in, 34, 35 games that we've played. How? I don't know. It's just stupid. Just the disparity. And honestly, I encourage you to listen to, and this is a plug for the preview pod for Forest this weekend. I encourage you to go ahead and listen to it. And it's an honest perspective from a guy that, you know, their team's been penalized a bunch of points this year. And we talk about that disparity and how, you know, yeah, we don't like Force, of course. And I'm not putting him on a pedestal or anything, but I just asked him the questions. Is like, what is the difference between you guys and what Man City and Chelsea and all these teams are doing? But they can spend wildly and grossly, and you guys can't. And you get, or if they do, and when they did, they get knocked with all these points deductions. It doesn't make any sense. And I encourage you to listen to it because it's a really good piece of work in that.
Yeah, I definitely do check it out. That should be out by the time that this podcast drops. So after you're done listening to this, swing over to YouTube and check out Chad's interview with the Nottingham Forest fan, whose name is escaping me at this point.
Mine too. Yeah, escaping me too. And I interviewed the guy.
Fair enough.
But I mean, so, I'll ask you this question, Mr. Snyder. However, what do we got? Three, four games left?
Three games.
Why? If you were a Sheffield United player right now, why would you want to play these next few games?
Why? If I'm gone in the summer, I mean, I wouldn't, to be honest with you.
You know, you're Vinny Souza, why do you want to play these next three games, four games?
Well, he's contracted to us. And, you know, I mean, we're trying to get top dollar for him. And I'm sure he wants to get a good contract wherever he goes next. So with respect to Vinny Souza, I think if you want your next contract to be a good one and an increase in terms of weekly wages over the current contract, then I'm assuming if you are playing even, because I think he's fallen out of favor with Wilder at this point due to his antics, I think you want to probably show, put your best foot forward. I mean, I really do. I mean, I will say for the players who are actually contracted to United past July 1st, 2024, I think that you definitely want to try to earn either a new contract with United if you want to stay, or earn your next contract. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it. I kind of ad nauseum, you know, there's a lot of players that we're not going to be keeping. We know it. They know it. They're out of contract and they're going to fuck off to whoever's going to be able to spend the top dollar for them, you know,
yeah.
And maybe has a better culture of winning. Maybe you want first team football in a top division that isn't in England, or maybe, you know, for McBurnie, maybe he's going to go to Scotland. By all accounts, it seems like Daniel Jebison is going to be headed to Ipswich next year, which will be
Tractor Boys.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. So I do think that if you're currently contracted to United, that you want to put that best foot forward, irrespective of whether United are going to be selling you in the summer or not. But yeah, I mean, it's a good question, Chad. I agree. It is a really good question. What are your thoughts on the matter?
I look at this two ways. First, I'll say this. I wonder if, you know, I'm starting to read between the lines, believing I'm reading between the lines. I don't really know. You know, you got your delusion people out there that think Wilder is this absolute messiah. What if this club, this godforsaken club we all support, gets taken over and they shit can Wilder and kick his ass to the curb and say, all right, we want to bring in our old, you want to bring in whoever, insert name here. And then obviously we've got 12, 15 players out of contract. So you can probably write a good majority of them off. We might sign back three players. Okay.
Yeah.
So you got like anal salami that featured for the first time in like, I don't know, 16 games. And you got his bro, Vinicius Souza. And I don't know, you got Austin Trusty, like three players that we signed this year. And they've been pretty, pretty bad.
Yeah.
So I don't know, you know, you looking at the writing on the wall with them. Am I going to be here? No. But
to be honest with you, I think the answer is yes. I think just to fill slots. at the end of the day. Because the thing is even if they're not great, I don't think, and Austin Trusty really, I think, has been playing the last 2 months every single week, because who else are we going to put out there?
Yeah, no shit. Yeah.
If we manage to keep a hold of Vinny Souza, I think he'll do better at championship level week in, week out than he would in, you know, than obviously he did in the Prem.
Yeah.
This season. Do I think he's going to be a world beater? No. No. He's a serviceable defensive midfield in the championship, you know? And maybe here's the thing. I think the era of the 3-5-2 is either dead or on life support. Because I think we're gonna set up differently next season. I really do.
We have to, but Tufty has no other way of playing. I mean, we need a different. This is the time to change formations, because we're not going to have anybody in here. So if you're going to allow Tufty to go and buy his own guys and he's going to change up the squad, then maybe we can. But if not, he's just going to run the same bullshit out there. You know, granted, the 3-5-2 took everybody by surprise. Well, 90% of teams were playing it, and they've all reverted back to something else because it got figured out if you don't have the right players. And we clearly don't have the right players. So we're going to have to do something to not get our heads kicked in next year when we go down to the championship. I mean, it's just a simple numbers game. I mean, especially if we have an aging squad and we have to keep some of the senior players. When I talk senior, I say older players, you know? Hopefully we can find somebody a few years younger than, you know, Johnny Egan.
Yeah. I mean,
younger than George Baldock, you know, younger than Ben Osborne, healthier than Reese Norrington Davis, you know, plays better defense than Max Lowe. I mean, stuff like that.
Yeah. No, I agree with literally everything you just said. And looking at the squad, I mean, we're going to need at least two center backs, one right wing back or a right back. I actually do probably think we'll wind up signing Mason Holgate.
God, no.
Is that your best Michael Scott impression right there?
Yes. Oh, man, no.
I can see it. I can see it, though, Chad. Like,
Oh, my God.
I'm not his biggest fan either, but the thing is I don't think he's going to get another Prem assignment, and he'll probably be, you know, selling his wares in the championship. So we're going to need somebody who can play on the right. Because I think Anel is probably gone, so we're gonna need at least two center backs. I don't know if Egan's. I mean, if Egan's gonna re-sign,
I think he's gone too.
So I think probably three center backs. We'll need somebody on the left wing. I mean, literally every position except maybe from midfield. Like, and that's if we can keep a hold of both Hamer and Vinny Souza. Which I think we're going to lose at least one of them. Mm-hmm. And it's probably going to be Souza, but it could be Hamer also.
Yeah. You could be losing both spots, both of those players there,
you know, and then our striking core, we're not going to have any proven goal scorers. You know, no. We're going to have Asula. We're going to have,
Brewster.
Yeah. And that's really it outside of maybe some of the kids. Maybe Ryan One is able to take Billy the step Sharp up. Getting the band back together, baby. Getting the band back together.
I mean, what do you do? You can't beg these players to stay. I mean, they're going to want a decent amount of money, too, to re-sign. And that's where... I don't know. I'm not the smartest guy. But you got to almost kind of weigh your options here. With it, there's going to be decent talent in the championship. You know, maybe you can lure down a couple of fringe players from the Premier League. Preferably not Mason Holgate. God, that just ruined my night.
Oh man,
that. Oh,
I'm sorry.
Man.
I'm sorry. I ruined your night, man.
Oh, but I mean, we're gonna have to take a bunch of frees on. I bet. How? Okay, yeah. I'll set the under over. How many free agents do we sign? 3.5. Over 3.5.
Over. I'm taking the over on that. Yeah, for sure.
We're screwed, but I think we got to do that.
Well, we're just going to need to plug holes. I mean, that's really what it's going to be about. We're going to need to build the team around Blaster, because obviously he's probably going to be our most talented player next season, especially if we get rid of Gustavo Hamer, you know. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've heard different rumors that the contract says that there's a relegation clause. You know, that his contract has a relegation clause. And for my money, I think he's probably good enough to play Prem football next season. So he might be looking for, you know, another lower level Prem team to sign with.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. If we have a bunch of outgoings of the players that we've already contracted, that we have contracted, we will be able to reinvest that money. So, you know, the money that we paid for Cameron Archer, he's going back to Villa. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to get some of that money back. Not, you know, it was a glorified loan, but we're still going to be getting some of that transfer money back. Mm-hmm. We have an obligation to sell him back to Villa. Gustavo Hamer, Vinny Souza, Anel Ahmed Hodzic, those are probably our biggest assets in the transfer market and probably the players who will most likely want to leave. So we'll have to sell them. Probably, like we said, and we'll get, you know, I think for all four of those players, between 25 and 30, maybe. I might sound deluded by saying that, but that's probably the higher end.
Yeah.
So you take that money, you reinvest it, you know,
in the infrastructure of the club.
Yeah, right. On the training pitch, you know. And the hotel. But I am worried about the product on the field. I do have a genuine worry about being able to put out a team that's going to be able to really compete next year. The players that we have, even if we bring in, you know, some sort of fringe championship players, I think we'll have enough definitively to stay up and probably to be somewhere in the mid table. But if we want to push, because I don't think we're going to go up next year. There's no way. Mm-hmm. But I think we could probably push for maybe the last playoff spot, maybe that sixth final spot, or I should say the fourth final spot in the playoffs, but sixth in the table.
I was on, what's it called? Premier League Fan Zone last Friday. They reached out to me. He wanted me on, and they asked about, well, you know, where does Sheffield United go? And I said, well, you know, 15 to 17 players out of contract, relegated this weekend against Newcastle. I said, guys, I'm going to level with you, because they're like, oh, Sheffield United, they'll be back up in the Prem in a year's time, right? I said, I'm going to level with you. I think our odds are better to be in League One before we are ever back in the Prem. And they're like, oh, no, come on. You'll be back in the Prem next year. I said, no way. No way. That's, you know, that's pundits over there who flood towards the top six, and they clearly don't know anything about the future of us. But, I mean, if that's, you know, we talked about last season being on a nice edge, us being in financial trouble if we don't go up. If we don't get it right and get out of the gates slow next year, we could definitely be in trouble. I really, if we don't get the players that we need, or that Tufty thinks can be in this team, yeah, we could be in real big trouble.
Yep. No, I agree. I think it really is going to come down to the business that we do over the summer. You know, it's and it's been said by Tufty Club, Blades Pod, Shoreham View, Chef United Way. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of who's talked about this, but this could be the most important transfer window in the last 10 years, maybe, since Wilder came in the first time.
Yeah. Because literally, we could do the back-to-back. It's not a huge possibility right now, but I'd peg it at about 10%.
If we don't get it right. If we get a transfer window from Wilder, you know, kind of comparative to all of the players that were bought after, you know, after Sander Berge, I'd say, if we get that kind of transfer window, then it's entirely plausible. I mean, we didn't buy a lot of players, but you know, if we get another Brewster, you know, or another, I don't know, another Mason Holgate, or another Vinny Souza, or you know,
Anil Salami.
Oh, I thought you were saying Anil Ahmed Hodzic. I would take another Anil Ahmed Hodzic in the championship.
I would too.
But we're also discounting the fact that some of the players who were more on the fringes, who we thought weren't great for Prem level, might be better in the championship. I don't think they're going to be that much better, but I don't know. I don't know how Austin Trusty gets, you know, Birmingham's player of the season and then suddenly isn't good in that league, or isn't at least serviceable in that league.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, because look, is that one piece that Birmingham City are missing right now? They're on the verge of relegation. Oh God, Austin Trusty, come back. He's probably at the best of his ability, is a championship player, and that's as good as he's going to get. So if we keep hold of him, he might do a job next year for us. But yeah, the whole thing is like, you got to think, is it okay, say, you know, light shines on a dog's ass and we were to, you know, go up next year. You're going to still have to replace him because you already know that he's shit in this league.
Yeah. You know? Well, if we miraculously do go up next year, I think it'll be because of what happens off the pitch before, you know, what happens on the pitch. So yeah,
if we go up next year, I'll shit my hands and clap.
If we go up next year, it'll be because there's been a takeover during the summer. Okay. They've decided not to have Wilder return for whatever reason. It'll have been a billionaire that will have bought us. I mean, these are the things, in my humble opinion, that will need to happen in order for us to go up next year.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
And maybe finally shaking off the playoff demons, because I just don't think – I don't see any way. Considering that, you know, one of the following teams is not going to go up. Leeds, Southampton, or Ipswich, considering one of those is not going to be going up, I think that, you know, whoever stays down in the championship this year is probably going to be really pushing for autos next season.
Leeds is about to be fucked if they don't go up. They're going to have to offload a shitload of players. Southampton are just because I think Ipswich, if they beat Coventry tomorrow, need 1 point on the last day of the season.
Yeah.
They play Huddersfield. But yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, those teams are going to be competitive. I mean, Leeds' name's going to attract the players. So even the players that have to offload this season, if they weren't to go up, they're still going to attract them.
And, you know, I mean, we're kind of the big elephant in the room that we haven't talked about is the loan market. I think we're going to be having a lot of loans in next season. Probably 5 or 6.
Yeah. You're not wrong. I mean, but the whole thing is you're going to have to offshore these guys. And that's where we take our flyers again. you know, because there's nothing guaranteed with someone that plays in Sweden or, you know, the Netherlands or some shit like that. I mean, there's no telling, you know, anybody who plays in Germany. You just don't know what you're going to get, how it's going to translate to this game and this league over here.
Well, we'll see. I think we'll definitely see a few Prem loans. You know, we have the relationship built with Man City. We might be able to get a couple, one or two from them on loan again. I don't know. Again, this is all perspective. You know, like this, it's all hypotheticals.
It sucks. This sucks. Being in this position sucks.
Yeah.
And we weren't but here a
end,
year ago.
But at the end of the day, at the end of the day, I'm happy to be playing championship football next year. Just week in, week out, it's going to be more entertaining. You know, we're going to have more to cheer about, more fun games to talk about on this podcast. Yeah, I mean, I just think overall it's going to be better for our mental health next season. Because I can't endure another year of this shit, you know?
It's not fun talking to a computer screen and watching a game where we get our ass kicked over and over and over and over. And everybody's like, "Wow, you're going to beat these guys." I'm like, "To fuck we are." We were tied at halftime in the last two games and got smoked in the second half.
Yep.
I mean, dude, we ain't got enough fucking steam for this league. Man,
yep.
That's what it boils down to. I mean, it's of course it has to do money, but our players aren't the same caliber.
Yeah,
it is what it is.
Yep.
That's why. Oh my God, you're seeing Burnley, you're seeing Luton. Oh, they're in a relegation battle. And these fucking guys are going down with us too. They just need a storyline to talk about. And there's a relegation battle going on between those three. There's three teams. One of those teams is going to make it out of there. And Forest play us. Burnley and Luton don't have the
luxury
to play us. Yes. In the last three games. So if Forest beat us at the weekend, that's probably them virtually safe.
Yeah.
Especially if Luton and Burnley drop points.
Yep.
Yeah. Quit this. Oh my God. Sheffield United are so bad. Burnley and Luton are just right there. You just morons are looking because Everton and Forest got points dropped off.
Yep. Do you want to talk about the potential salary cap that they're talking about for the Prem?
I mean, okay. I read this shit this morning and I guess I was reading something last week where it was supposed to be like a luxury tax, like in the NBA.
Yeah.
Where you can spend, but if you go over, you have to pay a certain amount or a certain percentage. I don't know, over what, if they set the cap at just let's say $2 million. If you went over and spent $5 million, you have to pay a percentage of that $3 million you went over. Is how I was thinking what it was going to be. Is this what the similar structure is going to be with this glorified salary cap?
Here's what I'm reading, okay? And it says, starting in 2025, teams will be limited to spend 85% of their total revenue on wages, transfer payments, and agent fees. The PFA is reserving final judgment, but reiterated its stance on bringing a cap to the EPL.
So basically, if you don't generate any revenue, you can't spend anything. Is basically what that's saying, right? 85% of your total revenue. So if you don't generate any revenue, because most of these clubs don't make money, how the hell is that going to work?
I think it'll be a little bit more of a level playing field. I think the gap won't be as wide from, 10 to 20.
Because I think the only team to make a profit in the top 10, and I don't even know if they're in the top 10 anymore, Brighton was the only one to post a positive. Everybody else lost their ass. I think Chelsea might have made a positive too, because the in and outs, it was almost like a wash for them.
I'm curious. I'm very, very curious.
But I think like this. City and Manchester United, Liverpool, Everton lost their ass. Obviously, Forest lost their ass. Palace, I think Wolves lost their ass too. But yeah, I'm pretty sure the only one that made a profit last year was Brighton, because they have the smart model to where they develop the players and sell them and make shitloads of money off of them.
Looking at this website right here. No, I can't tell, but I'm going to take your word for it, Chatto. I trust your judgment on this, because I can't find the data offhand right now.
2022 clubs ranked by revenue in 21-22 season. So that wouldn't have been us. City made 619 or generated 619 million pounds. Liverpool, Man United, Chelsea, Spurs, Arsenal, West Ham. So, okay. So the Premier League financial fair play table for 2023-24 mentioned can make a maximum loss of 105 million pounds over 3 years, with a special allowances being made for COVID. So Liverpool lead this one. They profited over the three-year plan. They made 67.1 million. Oddly enough, we're second in making 46.3 million. Burnley are third at 31.9. West Ham, Tottenham, Man City. Okay, so Man City lost a half a million. Luton lost 4.8. Luton's only made a profit in the year, I think they came up from League One of the Championship. Brentford was minus 38.4. You're getting down to like Arsenal and Chelsea. Well, Arsenal was down 115.4. This says Brighton. See, it washes all out here. Brighton still lost too. They had 160.4, but Everton prop up the table at minus 520.4 million. Wow. So they've posted losses over the last 3 years of 120.9, 354 million, and 44 million. That is unbelievable. Chelsea's 145, 142, and 121 over a 3 year span. That is absolutely insane amounts of money.
Let's remember that revenue is not the same as profit. Okay.
Yeah.
Revenue is how much you bring in versus how much, you know, how much you spend over how much you bring in. That's net. So
at least we were almost top of the table in something in the league.
It's because we didn't spend any money.
Yeah, no shit.
So, I mean, that actually kind of makes me feel that, you know, going down, we'll have a little bit of money to spend next year, especially if we sell players.
I mean,
not a lot. You know, I don't think we're going to be making a 15 or 20 million pound transfer.
No, I mean, but it's just one of those things you have to look at. It's like, okay, I'd have to say we're going to lose our ass this year. Well, not necessarily lose our ass. I'd say we're going to take a small hit. But you're going to think, like you said, we're going to offload some players and probably offset that and be able to spend a little bit.
Yeah.
If the prince cheap ass wants to come off of it.
We'll see what happens. So let's kind of move on from this conversation. I'm going to just take a brief respite from our regular pod activities here and just kind of give congratulations to you, because you, my man, are getting married this Friday. And I think the listeners want to know, we talked a little bit offline about this. You got the I do bag in the background there.
I do.
You do.
That I do.
Chad Jarvis, how are you feeling ahead of your wedding?
I am fine as sweet red wine, baby, which I've never had in my life. So I'm as fine as a nice cold Carling lager. I'm ready to roll. T-minus 4 days. When you guys hear this, it'll be T-minus 3 days. Me and Mr. Schneider, the guy on the other side of the camera that I've been talking to for, is it coming up on 4 or 5 years? We're finally
coming up
get
on,
to
four,
meet?
On 4 years. 4 years, man. God, we're finally meeting
straight
up.
Straight on the lips.
Oh, God.
I'm going to tongue you down.
Oh,
tonguing you down. But no, it's going well, man. It's a fun, happy time, and that's why we've been just, life has been busy and in the way, and the season's been shit, so it's kind of helped.
Yeah, that's why we haven't put out as many pods in the last couple of weeks, you know?
Yeah.
But rest assured, we've got some fun stuff planned for the summer. We're going to probably do some more YouTube content. Looking ahead, we've got some stuff in the pipe. So
yes, and look for all the pictures we're gonna probably post on the internet this weekend.
Oh yeah,
Mr. Schneider, me and Mr. Schneider looking snazzy in our suits.
It's gonna be interesting watching a game with you when we're not limited to, shall I say, the niceties that are required. Yeah.
I know, right? I know. Yeah, this is going to be Django Unchained here, you know. We're not going to have to hit the bleep button on this one.
Yeah. Unfettered raw emotion in a nothing game against Forrest.
Yeah, it'll exactly. In a nothing game. Yes, what better? Hungover as hell, firing down beers at 10 a.m. in the morning. What better? What better to watch Sheffield United get their ass handed to them by Nottingham Forest? God, it's going to be fun.
I mean, we have the opportunity to do something hilarious and, you know, make it more interesting there in the relegation battle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. 100%. We could, and that would be the most Sheffield United thing to do, is go and fuck this whole thing up for Forest.
I mean, it would be brilliant if we, like, contributed to sending them down. That would be unbelievable.
Like a stamp to the face?
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, we're not going to really talk about any of the... I mean, if you haven't figured it out already, we're not really talking about the loss at the weekend to Newcastle, the loss prior to that to Man United, the loss before that to Burnley. I just personally would rather not relive all of those, you know. Mm-hmm. We have not played well in the last 3 weeks, and I just don't feel like talking about it. But let's just talk briefly about Forest really quickly here. Let's just run down their last few games. Lost to Tottenham on April 7th. They drew Wolves at home. They lost away to Everton, and then Man City beat them 2-0 that was yesterday. So They're not on the greatest of form right now. You have to go back to April 2nd for their last win against Fulham. And then, you know, they were kind of draw merchants before that. So I think it's probably a pretty good time to play Forest, and I kind of want revenge from, you know, what was it? Second or third game of the season.
Yeah. But we probably should have won that one.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Probably should have. So as far as how Forest are probably going to line up, they've been playing more recently in a 5-4-1. I don't know. Is that how they're going to set up, you think, on Sunday?
That's what I was told by our friend from the Nottingham Forest preview. Yes, they set up, but they're still, you know, on. Like, turn your sound up if you've heard this before. but they're going to try and channel everything through our friend, the law firm. That seems to be their main man to go through, Morgan Gibbs White. So look for him to get the ball often and often and often. And if he's not on, we might have a chance.
Yep. Yep. But other than the law firm, they've got Wood up top, Hudson Adoy, Danilo Elanga. I'm going to butcher this. Nyakate. Williams, Bali, and none of them have really kind of lit up the Prem this year. I'd say Gibbs White's probably one of their best players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chris Wood's been here, there, and everywhere a little bit, had a few goals for Forrest, but I mean, Nico Williams has played good in spurts for him, but Elanga certainly when he came on against us, or did he start for Forrest? But when Elanga came in, he plays well for Forrest. It's just, I think this is gonna be one of those games where Forrest is gonna want it more than we are. That's why I think it's gonna come down. It's probably gonna be a tight game, but I think it's just one of those games where Forrest want it more.
Yeah. Yeah, also notable, an American on the bench in Giovanni Reyna, who when he's played for the United States has been unbelievable. I've not watched him much at Forest this season, but playing for the U.S. men's national team, he's been really good. So it'll be interesting if he comes on or even if he starts in this game. I don't know. I don't think he'll start, though.
No, he's been featuring more off the bench for Forest, and which is kind of weird since coming in January, you would have thought he would have been a stalwart in their starting lineup, but
yeah,
more of a bench role player.
Yep. Definitely will be interesting. As far as United are concerned, who do you see starting for the Blades?
I hope we keep Wesley in goal. I certainly hope we keep Wesley in goal. Would you be shocked if we played the same team?
Probably not, because I think that's basically our best 11, I want to say.
McBurney sounds like he's done for the season, so we don't have to worry about him.
Jack Robinson, Ole Ole, I think comes back in for Trusty.
Yeah, and probably.
Maybe Trusty pushes out to the left wing, and you put Benno back in to the midfield, maybe.
Yeah.
But other than that, that's basically, I don't know, maybe you give Asula a start. I'm not sure.
Maybe. BBD certainly has cooled off since his hot start.
So, yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
He had chances. He's had chances in almost every single game.
He has. I really would like to have him, you know. You might as well use him while you have him.
Yep. I mean, there's no chance in hell that he gets a loan back to us next season.
No. Nope, not at all.
And he's really been our most effective offensive player in the last 3 months, you know?
Yes, until McBurney got hurt. I mean, those two were hell on wheels.
Maybe hell on wheels is a bit hyperbolic, but they were halfway decent.
Yeah.
Halfway decent.
The car could roll down the road, where before they were just somebody kept falling asleep on the brakes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what's crazy, Chad, as an aside here? For, I want to say 90% of this season, we have not had our three center backs that got us to the Prem.
No. No.
90% of the season. One of Jack Robinson, Anel Ahmed Hodzic, and John Egan has been missing.
Yeah, because Egan's been missing. Egan's about missed the entire season.
Yeah.
He didn't play more than 10 games.
Yep.
Huh. Yeah.
So, it's crazy. I mean, if we get him back next season, That's the other thing, though. That's the twist in the tail. Like, due to that injury, I don't think there's going to be a lot of clubs willing to take a punt on him.
Very true.
So maybe we might be able to get him back. Just as just an aside there.
A hometown discount kind of deal?
Yeah. Yeah. Adopted hometown discount.
Yeah. I mean.
One other thing that I just wanted to talk about, you know, obviously this weekend was the 5-year anniversary of that match against Ipswich, O'Connell coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember, did you watch that game? Do you remember that game?
Yeah, I did. I don't remember where I was, though. Probably 5 years ago. Yeah, that would have been, I would have been sat in my living room on my rump watching it, being like, what the hell am I witnessing right now?
Yeah.
Just kind of not, just it, at that point it had never really officially sat in like, oh man, we're going to do the unthinkable. Like nothing everybody ever thought.
I remember where I was. I was sat at home watching it on an illegal stream.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good times.
Time flies, man.
Time flies. It certainly does. That in some ways that seems like yesterday, but that was a whole pandemic and 5 years of our lives before.
That's what I was going to say. That was before the world shut down.
Yep. Yep.
Nuts. Nuts.
Well, we've done fast approaching 50 minutes here, Chad. Anything else that you want to talk about before we sign off here?
Nope. Roll on into the end of this season. And thanks for everybody that's listened through all this BS of a season. You guys are the true winners. We have to talk about this team, and you guys have to listen to Kermit the Frog every week. God, I'd want to just shoot myself.
Well, yeah, I also want to echo those sentiments. And by this time next week, when we next record, Chad, you will be a married man. So
yes, I will.
Definitely look out for those pictures. We will be posting a lot of pictures on Twitter, on our Facebook, on our personal social media. By the way, you can find Chad at CJarvis_13 on all social media. You can find me, Noah Snyder, at SunPuck on Instagram and at Nestman930 on Twitter. Also, make sure you tune in to Chad's preview podcast with the Nottingham Forest supporter. That's on our YouTube channel. Just search Red Half of Sheffield. And as always, at Red Sheffield on Twitter, at the Red Half of Sheffield on Facebook. So until we play Forest on Saturday and then we get to watch a game in person, man. So yeah. Fucking stoked. Yeah. So stoked. Up the Blades, Chad.
Up the Blades.
Come on, you red and white Wizards.